What time is it?
Podcast time.
Time for our podcast. And
big one today, Boxy.
It is a big one today. We had a very special guest on the show
today. Sam Taunton.
Sam Taunton and Tom Gleeson were both on the show. Very funny men. But I must say, in my broadcasting career, I've talked about this man a lot for most of his off-field antics. He is a Brownlow Medal winner, multiple premierships in the AFL. Oh, it's only one. Yeah.
Played a couple
multiple
of grand finals.
All Australians.
Oh, there
played
we go.
A few grannies.
Ben Cousins. But I feel like I've talked more about his journey post-plane. And there were times when, let's be honest, there was a documentary on him on Channel 7 a few years ago. Then he landed himself in jail. And I think most of us had given up on him and thought, that's Ben Cousins done. Well, he has turned it around. And we've got him in the studio for a really great in-depth chat to see where he's at now.
It's a massive show. Plus, like Fee said, we've got that Catch Them If You Can case. An update on how our private investigator has gone for Tim, who has a few concerns over his girlfriend at the gym with her personal trainer.
Fair enough. You'll
hear that in here as well. Plus, an Alpha Bucks answer coming for you very soon.
Arden Homes create award-winning energy-efficient homes that are not only beautiful but improve the way you live. And for a limited time, enjoy up to $39,000 in bonus upgrades.
Live from the Fox Studios in South Melbourne. Fifi Box.
We make Tommy. People feel good.
Brendan Favola.
Fishy.
Nick Cody.
Boring.
Our Melbourne's number one breakfast show.
Woo! Popular Melbourne radio hosts Fifi, Fev and Nick.
Fifi, Fev and Nick.
From Melbourne, Australia, Fifi, Fev and Nick.
We are the best city in the world.
Just love Melbourne.
It's the best.
Absolutely love it.
They are the best.
Live in Melbourne every day.
Wake up with Fifi, Fev and Nick.
These are becoming the biggest parties in Melbourne.
We've packed outdoors.
We did schoolies for the very first time.
Mary Warren, here is your statue of Brendan Favola.
Hey, it's Taylor Swift.
Hey, it's Ed Sheeran.
Margot Robbie.
Thank you so much for having me.
Jack Black.
Great to meet you.
So good to have you back on the show and to come to Brekkie in the Burbs. Jeez, you just won $100,000. You just won Fox's golden ticket.
That is the secret sauce.
The Foxes, Fifi, Fev and Nick.
Wake up with Fifi, Fev and Nick.
Let's go, Wednesday. Good morning, Dream Team. How are we?
Good morning.
Morning.
Happy Wednesday. We've got a huge show. I've been so excited about today's show. A cavalcade of stars. We've got Tom Gleeson is in the studio and this is an exclusive. We have his first time on our radio show, former AFL star Ben Cousins.
Big dog.
Never had him on the show. No. Ben
Brownlow
Cousins
medalist.
In the studio.
Fifi, Fev and Nicks. Catch them if you can.
Catch them if you can. Our Fox Bureau of Investigation is back in force. Back by popular demand. So many people in Melbourne have been coming to us saying, can we please use your Fox PI? There's something in my life that's niggling me I want to get to the bottom of. And we did hear from Tim. Now, Tim is our client. Of course, not his real name. This is all anonymous. Voice disguises are used because we really have no interest in publicly naming and shaming people. We just want to help Melburnians out. Now, Tim is very happy in a long-term relationship with his partner. She has, in the last 12 months, changed her behaviours. Now, great for her. She's put her health first. She goes to the gym. She's lost a lot of weight, feeling good, fit and healthy, but spending a lot of time at the gym. And
weekends away.
Tim is sus, but even when he said to us yesterday, it just feels a bit silly because it's such a cliche about a personal trainer. But she has a very attractive personal trainer she's spending a lot of time with. She's doing weekends away with the girls. But this can often happen when you lose weight and feel good. You've got energy. You want to, like, seize life. So I'm hoping that's all that's happening here.
And sometimes, Boxy, when the personal trainer is a good-looking rooster, you might think, oh, geez.
Oh, it's a cliche for a reason. Yeah. It has happened. I've seen it happen in my friendship group. Now, we have set our Fox PI Dave on the case. Dave has been surveilling Tim's partner for the last 24 hours, and we're going to catch up with him now. Hi, Dave.
Fifi, how are you? Good to be back with you.
Very great to have you back on the show, Dave. Now, we know Tim's concerns. You have been able to surveil his partner for the last 24 hours. Is there any update for Tim?
Yeah, well, what I can say is that the target did, you know, go to the gym, said went to where she said she was going to go. About an hour and a half or so, everything looked pretty normal to me. There was some interaction with the trainer, I believe is the name. So there was some interaction, but no more with the target than anyone else at the gym. So there was plenty of people there. He was sharing his time fairly equally amongst everybody. So no cause for alarm.
So nothing. So Dave, time. You're not a relationship expert, obviously, but you didn't see anything that looked intimate, all very platonic looking.
No, I'm certainly not a relationship expert. You can say that again. But nothing alarming as far as their interactions with each other. There was nothing special about their interaction compared to the way he was working with the others at the gym.
So now we've got Tim, our client, on the line too. Are you there, Tim?
Yes, Wardy. How are we?
Tim, we're great. You've just heard what PI Dave has said. That's got to give you some relief that there doesn't look like there's anything going on. I mean, they are in public, though, so there is probably never know what's going on behind closed doors. But does that make you feel a bit better, Tim?
Somewhat. I mean, this little thing's itching away that, you know, I think is suspect in my mind.
Okay. Well, it is just day one. Mm. So, Dave, that's what you were able to glean from yesterday's surveillance. And now we know that, Tim, that your partner has a work meeting tonight. Dave, you're going to be on the case. And this will be a big one, actually, really, because you've said, Tim, that she is doing more social things that don't involve you and a work meeting doesn't involve you. So tonight might be quite telling.
Yeah, it's just an odd one tonight, especially because how many meetings do you normally have?
What does she do for a job, Tim?
Marketing, works 9-5, like these outside of, she's not like she's a nurse or.
Yeah, so it'd be strange to be having marketing meetings at night time.
It's really odd, yeah.
Okay. Well, Dave, you're on the case. You'll be seeing what goes on tonight and we'll hear back tomorrow morning. Fingers crossed, Tim, I still think this is just your partner's just living life and loving it and still loves you. So good luck, Dave. We'll touch base with you tomorrow.
Speak with you and thanks, guys.
There we go. Thanks,
what do you reckon?
No, well, I'm...
You know what I reckon.
What do you think?
What do you reckon?
Yeah, she's... Every time.
You think?
Yeah.
The personal track.
They don't call in unless they know something.
You're right. Like, Tim, and even then, see, I thought, oh, that's a good sign. Because sometimes people who are having an affair, even around people, you can still see it. You kind of, if there's an energy there.
Yeah.
And Dave hasn't seen that energy. So I think that's a great sign.
No. I think they're up to something. And I've locked in my guess, so can I sit out until we get the result?
I think that maybe you'd see, because Dave watched them at gym for an hour and a half, if they were doing something, there might be a little touch or a little, ooh, like something that they smile or look.
Yeah.
But then the fact that she's got another meeting and she's in marketing, maybe they have a strategic meeting or they could be overseas talking to someone, maybe. I'm leaning towards that. Everything could be okay for Timmy, maybe.
101.9 The Fox.
Yes. Now, the Melbourne International Comedy Festival is on till April 21st. Your last chance to see some of the best acts in Australia, like this man, Tom Gleeson.
Yes.
In the studio.
Oh, thank you.
Gear.
Yeah.
Tickets available, comedyfestival.com.au.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. My stand-up show is called Gear, and this is completely unrelated to your previous guest. I just wanted to say that. Gear means material.
It does.
It means stand-up material. Yeah. That's strong what gear means. That's what my show's about. It has nothing to do with other things that have happened on this show.
It's the final week. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling pretty good, actually. Yeah, we close on Sunday. And, I'd love people to come along to the show because I'm not doing the Comedy Festival every year anymore. I'm like the Olympics.
Maybe every 4 years I swan in and do it. So if you do want to see my show, you've got to come this week. I won't be back next year.
Comedy theatre, beautiful theatre. Yeah. Now, the show this year, it's on brand for Tom Gleason.
Yeah.
About revenge.
Yeah.
What's brought this on? Who are you hating
like
now? Just,
I like settling scores from the stage. So often I settle scores in real life, and then I like doing it on stage. Like I had a run-in with my neighbour, essentially. Ooh. And anyway, it's a long, beautiful tale of revenge, but essentially I got him evicted. And that's what the show's about. That's what part of the show's about. And then there are other stories of revenge too. Yeah.
Do you ever worry about that sort of stuff? If you're
coming back to me?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know where I live. I live in Romsey.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, the ticket price of my show keeps half that town out.
Yeah.
So he's not coming to my show.
Yeah, you are.
And if he is, he'll just learn about what happened to him.
Oh, yeah. That's why I'm homeless.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Thanks, Tom.
Actually, because I love Romsey. Yes. It's small and it's a beautiful spot,
Brian,
but obviously not
there.
Many yes. people. And you are a huge star.
Yeah.
Do you do the cap and glasses? Don't talk to me, or are you in with the locals having chats at the grocers?
Well, it is tricky. Quite often, when I wear a hat and sunnies, people go, "Oh, you're trying to be incognito," and I'm like, "No, it's a sunny day."
Yeah.
So I've got sunglasses on.
Yeah.
And I have red hair and fair skin and the sun's out and I don't want to get sunburnt. And they're like, but still, sunnies, hat, you're being a bit incognito. And I'm like, but you are also wearing sunnies and a hat. Are you being incognito? No, because you're a nobody. I'm wearing sunnies and a hat for the exact same reason as you. Get off my case. It would be weirder if it was a sunny day and I was walking outside squinting, getting sunburnt to the shit, just because I was worried that people would think I was up myself.
Yeah. I'm one of you guys.
I'm one of you guys. My pupils are pinpricks.
Now, you are a very funny man, and as you just said, you only do it every 4 years because you don't need to do it all the other years because...
No.
You obviously need to get some, if you're doing it about revenge, you probably need some material, some gear, as your show's called. Now, have you got any advice for any newcomers such as Dick Cody, who's new on the comedy scene?
Yeah, don't do it every year. Yeah. You'll burn out and also you'll run out of stuff to talk about. And
not
also you would have churned through all your best stuff for your radio show.
Of course.
Because that's you bring all your best ideas to this show.
Thank you.
Yeah,
and
then, thank you for that.
And,
yeah,
then, and then you sell the scraps from the stage.
Does that on project. And then he
does a bit on the project.
Yeah.
And then what he's got left, he does live.
Oh, yeah.
Do it the way I do it. Don't do radio. Don't do the project. Save it all up every 4 years so you've got a lot of gold.
And then you get to live in Romsey.
Then you can live it up in Romsey.
Yes.
I like all of these ideas. You guys are talking me into leaving. What do you mean? I sleep in and work a month every 4 years. This sounds sick. I'm not getting up tomorrow.
You know, you do have a great TV show as well. And I know it's a prize to win your head. Is that right? A statue of your head?
Yeah, I host two TV shows. Hard Quiz, you win a big brass mug.
Yeah, that's right.
And in Taskmaster, you win a gold version of my head.
My head, yes. Yeah. Now, I don't know if you... how well your shows are going, because you've only got just a head. But if you take a look over there, there's a big... nice, beautiful statue. We went the full hog. If you
it's
wanna,
Brendan Favola. Yeah.
You got a whole Brendan Favola statue.
Yeah, I did. I got put out at Webb Street.
In Narre Warren, where he was born.
And I used to always say because not much has come out of Narre Warren. I'm probably the biggest thing that's come out of Narre Warren. Grant Daniel was sort of Hallam. And the statue of him would be really small.
Yeah.
We put that at Webb Street because I always just say there was a statue there. But what are you?
He's our senior producer, James Blake. He's very disappointing, Tom. Yeah. If you had him producing Hard Quiz, you'd probably have fired him by now.
He looks like the Chinese man off the Pokey Machine. We'll get the feature. Now, he only put it in there for 3 weeks, so it's got taken down.
Oh, it's got taken down?
Oh, mate, I'm so flat.
It's got no home,
so we're thinking maybe...
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? Like, you know, when you get a statue made of yourself... It's a big thing because it means you've been honoured. But when you have to get your own made by yourself, it takes the edge off the honour, I find.
And then beg people to put it somewhere.
What are you asking him to put it in Romsey?
We could get one of you Victoria. In Romsey, Tom.
Oh, yeah, we could put it on the main street.
With sunnies and a hat on.
Sunnies and a hat. Look at him. Don't miss Tom Gleason's gear.
Why is his statue in disguise?
The Melbourne International Comedy Festival on until Sunday night. Tickets, comedyfestival.com.au.
Yeah, come along. Love to see you there.
Thanks for your advice on Nick, too.
See you guys in 4 years.
Melbourne's 101.9, The Fox.
big edition of the Front Bar tonight. Mick, Sam and Andy, 8:30 on Channel 7, joined by our guest in the studio, Ben Cousins.
Good morning.
Wow. Ben.
Morning.
Ben, it's so nice. This is the first time I've ever met you, the first time you've been here on the show. And I've genuinely been excited all day about you coming in because I've known you as a player. I've known you forever. And I want to say this. I'm probably saying this on behalf of a lot of people listening. It is so good to see where you're at the moment.
Yeah,
see that you've turned things around. You look fit, fabulous. We know that you've just you're going to be on Dancing with the Stars, which we can't wait to see. But just well done.
Yeah,
you've really turned
thank
it
you.
Around.
It's been a while coming. It has, but yeah, life is good at the moment. So busy working, happy. You know, so
got a good facial surgery, dude. Because you look like you're about 28 years old. How good does he look?
Maybe it's because I look so bad before. But,
Hey, now we know each other. We know each other very well. And I remember, I'm going to bring this up. I've never told this story public, and I've never ever been worried about anyone. You know, I just cruise along. We cruise along. Yeah. We don't care about much. But there was a night. It was after one of my best mates' engagement party, Chrissy Newman, and you were down from Perth, and we were at Crown, and I was not there with Ben, and I was going upstairs, I was staying at Crown, and Ben hopped in the lift. I was like, "G'day, mate, how you going?" He's like, "Good." He goes, "Oh, I'm
the Kings of Crown."
He goes, "Something, yeah, the Kings of Crown," and something had happened with your car, your rental, or something, and you couldn't get to the airport, you missed your plane, and you said, "Can I stay with you tonight?"
That did happen every now and then.
Yeah.
You missed the odd flight.
You missed the odd flight. Yeah. So I said, yeah. So we went up to our room on the 33rd floor and you had a couple of phones. You kept taking the battery out and you were charging the battery. And I'm like, "Are you all right, mate?" And he's like, "I just don't know." And we sat there all night and I didn't go to sleep because I was a bit worried about Ben. And we sat and chatted for about 7 hours until you left the next morning. And we got in deep to some stuff. And I couldn't believe how worried I was about you. You were worried about me. And two cooked units sitting there, chewing the fat, talking about life. How did you turn it around? Because you have. You've turned it around.
It's hard to sort of just,
put it in a nutshell.
One thing, unfortunately, I do think, when I think about it now, I do wish that it didn't have to run its course the way it did.
Yeah.
And, it wasn't through lack of wanting to turn it around at times, but it's just a complicated thing. But I do remember the night fondly. We've always had a good time when we've caught up. But, you know, like you say, you know, I wasn't going, you know, that well at the time.
I wasn't either.
But, you know, I do give it to you. Even after that night, I think there was a number of times where, I either received the call personally or someone close to me did from Fev who would call up just to make sure, you know, I was going all right. And, you know, we're good mates, but, you know.
I didn't want to say that.
You've got a good heart and want good things for other people.
Probably the next year and a half, I reckon I'd ring him once or twice a month just to see how he was going.
Yeah.
And we didn't really hang out often, but I'd just call him. I remember I was playing golf at one stage in between a hole. And I just rang him. He goes, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm playing golf." He goes, "Why are you ringing me for?" I said, "I'm just checking in. I'm having a dart and I'm waiting for the next hole."
but you've done
a great job. Yeah. And it's a credit to you and all the people out there listening that are going through issues. You know, they can always turn it around.
Yeah. It's life is so much better. And, you know, when you strip it all, I've said it before, but when you strip it all back, it just gets back to, you know, what makes you happy or with you. And for a long time, I wasn't, you know. There was huge parts of my life there where, I wasn't working, but I wasn't on holidays either.
Mm.
And, now it's just, life is so much about all the things I'm getting back in my life opposed to anything I'm supposed to be giving up or going without. It's not about that.
And you are, and we know, obviously dancing fit, but you have the Benjamin Buttons about you. Like you could walk onto the MCG this weekend and everyone would just assume you're one of the young guys playing. Where are you with footy? Are you playing?
I'm amazed about, Feb was telling me off air before that he just kicked 8 on the weekend. And I never thought for a long time I would ever play after I finished. I did the first time I ended up playing a game at all, so charity or anything was when I was locked up, and they do love their footy in there. And
like the longest yard.
Yeah. Well, the first two times I went in, I avoided the footy. I thought this could be more trouble than it's worth. And then the third time
lucky.
I got talked into it, and I loved it, you know, and it was, we had some fun, and then I played a handful of games and enjoyed that. And then since then I've played a couple of charity games, and then went and did a pre-season with a local amateur footy club in Perth. And, you know, I probably wasn't at the time quite ready to get back into full-time work, but I sort of needed to get out of my own way. And I went down. I didn't have any prior involvement with this footy club before going down, so it was good for me. You know, it was around
getting around the boys,
having a kick at the footy, which I've always loved, but, you know, I had to get out of my own way and meet new people and out of my comfort zone a little bit. And it was even for me, just a great reminder of the important role that footy clubs play in people's lives. Mm. And I'm convinced that, like they say, they, you know, enjoyed having me down there, but I'm convinced that I got more out of being down there for, you know, than they got out of having me down there. You know, it was good. But I did, in 10 minutes into my second game, I tore my hammy.
Oh.
And then I spent 2 weeks away from training trying to sort of just, you know, be able to walk without any pain. And then my first night back at training, I thought I'll just do 2 laps warm up, you know, and I'll just hop out and just stretch. So I did the 2 laps, and then they sort of broke off into the short crisscross handball. I thought, oh, I could probably join in with a few handballs. And then they stretched it out to about 10 or 15 meters where they're doing Ping. Just a short kick. And I thought, I'll just have a couple of kicks on my other leg. And then I did the quad in my other leg. So I had the hammy one leg, quad in the other, and I never looked like it for the rest of the year.
I'll give you another lesson, Ben. I've been retired for 14 years and I've never trained once, and I've played nearly 200 games afterwards.
We went to don't train, don't stretch. The Brendan Favola method.
That'd be sort of flip my whole approach to footy. And I do a 180. Maybe that's what it means,
Ben, you just mentioned when you got locked up, and that's another credit to you to being able to turn this around. And I know we had someone on the show yesterday who was in maximum security in the States, and we're asking him about what that, because I've seen all the docos. But I wanted to know this when you went in. Is there respect, or are they like going to, is it tall poppy syndrome? Is it, oh, here he comes, footy player, we'll cut him down? Or did they go, it's Ben Cousins?
No, there was a bit of everything, really. If you haven't been there before, it's one of those things. Until you're in there, you don't really know what to expect. And
got a scuffle one stage, didn't you?
Yeah, a little one. Yeah. And sort of, at some stage, that will probably find you, no matter who you are. Mm. And you sort of have, you probably can't get anybody else to do your time. You've got to do it yourself. But, you know, you meet sort of people from all walks of life. And, it's the novelty wears off pretty quick.
I'm sure.
No one
cares about your brand right now, mate.
You sort of do it, yeah. But you make the best of a tough situation. And you find a way. Yeah.
Now you're on the front bar tonight, which is a great show. You got a couple of comedians on there and Andy Maher. How do you feel going back into the media and how everyone's accepted you back in the media? Because you're doing a lot over in Perth with Channel 7. You're doing something with HIT as well. I think you're doing some stuff, which is great.
More and more, with time. I must admit, I say this often, a week before I started, this is a couple of years ago now, I was trying to get out of it. I was thinking, because I was coming from a song so far back and didn't necessarily think that I just, you know, belonged there or, you know, should have been there. And they've, you know, Channel 7 have been fantastic. They really have. They've welcomed me back in and, you know, I work pretty closely, very closely with Adrian Barrich, who's sort of taken me under his wing. I grew up going to watch Dad play and train, and Barra played with Dad. So I've known him since I was probably two, and he's been fantastic. And, you know, don't take it too seriously. I love following the game and keeping an eye on what's happening with that. So to be able to do that as part of what I'm doing for a living is a luxury. So
because you are normally a very shy person. You keep to yourself. You don't really get, you never really got out into the media. So, and you've been doing a great job. Now, with your footy club, West Coast, and all your teammates, have they accepted you back? How do they, because I've seen a lot of footage where you're with them and they're just, everyone's getting around you. How's that support been for you?
Oh, listen, you know, the mates you make along the way, it's what you leave the game with, you know, and, you know, probably for a long part there, it's easy to isolate and sort of, you know, not put yourself in as many situations as you normally would to, you know, to catch up and spend time. And, you know, in the last few years, I've spent more time, you know, down at the Eagles watching training or, you know, catching up. Or,
probably,
you know,
get a game there now.
Yeah. talking on the phone about footy and whatever's happening, you know. And I, whenever I come to Melbourne, you know, I'm hooked in with the Tiger lads, and I love it. You know, it's been such a big part of my life. You'd be the same. Yeah. And, you know, it's, you know, I miss the locker room, banter and the humor, and, you know, it's something that I never thought I'd find with Dancing with the Stars, but, you know, they're really what, it's a great bunch of people that I did it with. And, you know, the green room or the guys' change rooms, you know, it had that locker room feel to it, a footy change room. And we had a laugh. It was often at our own expense and that, but I miss it. And it reminded me of how much I missed it because of how much I enjoyed it with that. So, you know,
mate. Well, we can't wait. Dancing with the Stars, cannot wait for that to come with Sonia and Dr. Chris Brown.
Yeah.
We get to see him on Dancing. But obviously tonight, Mick, Sam and Andy, the front bar, 8:30 with Ben Cousins. And Ben, again, everybody loves a tale of redemption and someone turning their life around. So well done.
Yeah,
and
thank you.
Thank you for coming on the show.
You. Thank you.
Melbourne's 101.9, The Fox.
Hey, guys, now, Boxy, you've just been away. You went to Fiji on a beautiful holiday with your two beautiful girls, but you also have another little kid, Lizzie Rosie Box.
Yes, I do.
And before the holiday, you actually forgot to do something with Lizzie Rosie Box, and this happened.
I said Josiah, because Josiah loves dogs. He's a dog whisperer. He takes them up the top of mountains and whispers to them, has chats. And I just mentioned it in passing, and you said, oh, Melita and I would love to have Lizzie.
Anytime you need a dog sitter, we would love to help out.
So you went
they
away.
They were amazing.
And Josiah and Melita looked after beautiful Lizzie Rosie Box.
So well. I couldn't be more grateful, by the
miss
way.
Her. I miss her.
Yeah.
And he's incredible. That's friendship.
That is friendship. That is friendship. Well, wait till you hear what I've got to say. Now, you said that Lizzie Rosie Box has been a little bit sad since she come home.
Because she
had such a great time with Josiah and Elmo.
When Josiah dropped her off on Sunday, and then as he was leaving, she went to the front door and just stood there and watched him go. It was a bit sad.
Yeah, well, the news has come to light.
Even Josiah said, I won't say goodbye, I'll just slip out. Yeah, it was really
like a bad breakup, isn't it?
Yes.
Now, some news has come to light. I was speaking to the lovely Melita, Josiah's fiance, say yesterday on the way home from our TV shoot, and I got some information about Josiah, Elmo and Lizzie Rosie Box. Now, Josiah often showers with Elmo.
Oh, no.
And he was naked in the shower with Lizzie Rosie Box.
Oh.
Elmo and Josiah all showered naked together.
Now I know why Lizzie Rosie Box is
upset that he has left her with you. Because they all get naked together and had showers.
It sounds worse than it is.
No, that's exactly how it is. Is that true?
It's actually worse than it sounds.
Is it true? Okay, just yes or no? I want to explain.
It's 100% true.
True.
Oh, man.
He showered naked with your dog.
I took the dogs to the beach and they needed a shower and I couldn't be bothered going to the dog wash. So I threw them in the shower and I needed a shower. So we all had a wash together.
They all had a shower together in the nude.
I actually don't mind.
What?
I'm okay with that. He was looking after her. He washed her.
Showered with your dog.
Nude. Like he could have wore shorts.
I know.
Lizzie Rosie Box doesn't see that around your house.
No, certainly not.
No wonder Lizzie Rosie Box is sitting on the couch going,
Oh, it wasn't for me.
This is the Albanian pink lipstick.
Where's the peanut butter, Foxy?
Melbourne's 101.9, The Fox.
Time to give you an answer for Alpha Bucks. If you're playing at 8 a.m. on the 18th of April, that's Thursday? Yeah, Thursday, yeah. The 18th of April. The letter is the letter S. You should get this, Nick. And the question is a car brand.
Subaru.
Yeah, both of you got it. Bang.
In the Forester. Scoot, scoot.
101.9 The Fox.
Good morning, guys.
Wow.
You just drank a 1.25-litre bottle of Coke Zero out of the bottle. No cup.
Because it wasn't a cup, as but we're I needed about something
to
immediately.
As we're about to go to air.
I had chicken stuck. I didn't
Nene's
know what to
chicken
do.
Has sent us in some delicious chicken. And what a time of morning to get stuck in the fried chicken, 7:30 in the morning.
Chicken. I can't tell you how.
But there is something very funny about you, Fee, just necking a 1.25-litre.
Do you need a cup? Let's get you a cup.
Well, it's okay. I want to talk. Do you know what I want to talk about? We are on a list, guys. We are on a list.
I've been on a list for ages.
Usually we're on the world's most livable city list, Melbourne, and we top it. We go head to head with Vienna. Vienna pipped us through lockdown for a year or two, but we'll get it back. This one, though, is a concern. We have found ourselves on a list. It's quite reputable, actually, because this, you know, I'm big. When I see a survey, I like to see a sample size. And when they say, we surveyed 3,000 people, no, not interested. Give me more. 3,000 people is not enough. This list has 66.7 million people.
Whoa.
Yeah, I reckon that's a fairly decent sample size.
That's like triple us.
It's from Google reviews of, wait for it, international tourist destinations. And we have found ourselves on the list, the top 100 most boring tourist attractions in the world.
Good. I don't want people coming here.
What?
Good.
How good is that for our economy to have tourists? Are you kidding? Yeah,
just.
But it's not our city. Away. Surely it's a place in the city. It just can't be Melbourne.
Can you have a guess of any of the?
It's not Melbourne, surely.
No, it's Melbourne. There's Melbourne. A tourist des. I said tourist destinations. We have in the top 100. We have two tourist attractions in Melbourne. Have ended up on the list. In at number
MCG?
24. No, they're brilliant. People would love going there.
Oh, no, I thought you meant that the top. We only have two.
These are the most boring. Oh. I reckon this is very controversial.
What, Luna Park?
No, in at number 24.
The eye.
No.
The wheel?
No, that didn't even make it.
What about where I wore my dildo?
Fed Square?
Yeah.
No, Fed Square's great.
Is it?
Legoland Discovery Centre.
Oh.
Where is
How
that?
How could anything to do with Chester. Lego be boring?
Oh, chatty. You went there.
Yeah.
It's great. It was brilliant. I know. I reckon that's disgruntled customers. There's no... Oh, Leon's got his hand up. What's your problem?
Yeah, I went to go there once with my partner and they wouldn't let me in because I didn't have a kid.
Yeah, you should be on a different kind of list. That's disgraceful behaviour, going to Legoland without a child.
But you're not coming to... See, I don't understand 66 point million, whatever, how many million...
It's from Google reviews.
Yeah. Oh, Google reviews. Because people can leave bad comments, but who's coming to Melbourne to go to Legoland?
Well, no, but they're just going there when they're there. Yeah. I dispute that
one.
Well,
Chadstone, there's
rough.
The hotel at Chadstone. People stay for nights, and it's massive.
Well, you've stayed there,
it's very strange. The other one, though, that's there, now, I've never been to this place. Anyone familiar with our Immigration Museum?
Yeah.
In the city?
Yeah. Which one's that? I know the museum. Is it our museum?
It's on the corner of
Flinders? Yeah. Flinders and William around
there.
So.
What is in this museum?
I don't know. I was going to ask somebody who's been there.
I have.
What's there?
I went to go check out my family history there.
Oh,
is this when you...
My grandparents arrived on a boat from Albania, and yeah, we went to go check out the documents at the Immigration Museum. Great place.
So you enjoyed your experience there?
Oh, mate, I found something out. So
What did you find out?
About my family. You know,
being Albanian.
Yeah, I found out the boat they arrived on, all that sort
of
stuff.
The Spirit of Tasmania. Shut up, mate. You're Australian.
All right, I remember. Some boat, though.
Yeah.
They weren't asylum seekers.
The Virgin Voyager.
It was a legal boat.
Have you heard of the Albanian city Devonport? Shut up, mate.
Melbourne's 101.9, The Fox.
A TV series I must watch one day, and I feel like I'm so late to the party, it's embarrassing. And that's Breaking Bad.
Oh.
I know.
I just made a joke about you before. Walter White Lady.
Walter White Lady.
Yeah, I know enough.
Walter White.
I know Bryan Cranston, the main guy.
Walter White, yeah.
Was he in Malcolm in the Middle as well?
Yeah. The dad.
I know that guy. One of the guys I don't know, but I recognise his face, is Bob Odenkirk, who plays his lawyer in Breaking Bad.
Great comedic actor, but also...
And then gone on to Better Call Saul. That's his show too. But do you remember last year on the set, he was filming on set and he had a heart attack. You don't expect that when you're working, particularly when you're filming a TV show. And he's just talked about it recently on a podcast.
Actually, I have a funny medic story.
I want to hear this.
I had a heart incident.
Yes.
On the set of Better Call Saul.
Oh, do you mean where your heart stopped?
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Pretty much stopped.
Oh my
goodness. It slowed down to a point where I turned gray and stopped breathing.
Oh my God, that's
crazy. And the medic came around the corner and he froze in his tracks. It was his first day.
No.
And he said, "Oh no." Weeks later when I came back, he said, "I'm so sorry. It was my first day." And he said, "I'd never actually done CPR. I'd only ever watched other people do it."
The idea of your first day at work and the lead actor, the big dog on set, is having a heart attack and you just freeze. But I get that it's the first day of anything. You don't expect anything to happen on your first day. And sometimes things do happen. In fact, 131060, that's where we're heading. What happened on the first day to you or someone else? Because you know this story, Fev. The first week of when I was a retail assistant for the first time, I was like 17. Maya Eastland. Josiah, not what
Eastland.
Do you call it?
Eastland.
Sydney Eastland. Boy doesn't know how Sounds to pronounce good. It. But Maya Eastland, 17, and I was in the jewelry and watch department and I forgot to lock the fine jewelry cupboards. I left the bag of keys out. And it wasn't the first day, but it was like the first week, and $60,000 worth of jewelry got stolen.
Oh.
So that wasn't great. That's what can happen when you're new to a job. Leon.
Yes, I worked at Video Easy in Lilydale, actually, out in the eastern suburbs. And on my first day, my job was to scan the returns of all the DVDs coming back in. And I was doing it wrong. So hundreds of DVDs just got returned without being scanned. So hundreds of customers all got late fees, which just infuriated every customer coming in when they were renting their next DVD.
Because you always had to pay it before you got a new one, didn't you?
Yeah, they wouldn't let you hire. But then they'd argue that it was all my fault because I just didn't scan them. So
you
no
did
one
that
believed.
Before the Sorbonne ad.
Running joke, Fev thinks that Leon looks like little Matthew Croc from Hey Dad and the Sorbet commercial.
Phone lines are in meltdown at the moment. Get involved with the conversation. What happened on your first day? Give us a story this morning.
I got dressed up as Elsa in my first week. Wore makeup.
You did?
For your child's birthday.
Trixie's third birthday.
Full dress, lipstick, wig, makeup. Wow.
You didn't expect
Really didn't expect that. Coming from Yarrawonga.
And then Anthony Kalia sang Frozen to her
to Trixie, who had no idea who Frozen was.
She wasn't. It was just that year before she got into Frozen.
Jumped the gun.
Hello, James Blake.
On my first day on this show, I was forced to go down onto Clarendon Street in South Melbourne and go through a bin to work out why the bin was beeping.
You should have stayed.
We thought it was a bomb.
That's right. You had to go through a bin. That's pretty good. That was good.
And you found your facial hair.
Anyway, back to what I was saying. The medic froze on set and was unable to help the main actor, Bob Odenkirk, from Better Call Saul. He was having a heart attack and the guy just stood it and stared at him.
Stiff.
And that's just unfortunate. You don't expect on the first day. Ethan from North Ringwood. Hi, Ethan.
G'day, how are you?
Yeah, good. What happened on the first day?
So I started my apprenticeship as a landscaper and we're doing a demolition of a garden and the work company I worked for was doing very nice gardens at that time and there was this black poly pipe and I've grabbed it and I've looked at my boss and I've gone, "Hey, what's this pipe?" And he goes, not knowing what it was, and he goes, "I'll just cut through it, it'll be fine." And I got the shovel and just gone and smacked it through it, and usually when it's a dead one, there's no water through it, and it was live. It was the mains water to the house.
Oh no.
So what happened?
So I ended up just shoved my finger in it as quick as possible. And I've never seen six blokes run around the house trying to find the meter as quick as possible. But my finger was getting sore because there was so much pressure going through it.
Did you keep your job?
I stuck out. My boss was pretty lucky that I asked. If I hadn't asked about it, I probably wouldn't have had a job.
Yeah.
Because it did take all day to fix. But I kept my job, and then now I'm not actually a landscaper at all. Kind of left after I made another mistake and got fired.
Oh. Okay. Well, in your defense, that wasn't your mistake. That's not fun, though. That's the homeowner would not love that.
It'd be filthy.
Shocking first day. Thank you for sharing that, Ethan. Georgie in Coburg.
Hi.
Hey, George. What happened on the first day?
So I moved from the country, little country town, and moved to the big smoke. First day of my new job, I was going in between buildings to get my, security pass and your identification and everything. And I slipped on those white blind people tactile indicators, that you see in the traffic
lights. Yep.
Those
little dots. Yep.
The, non-slip things. I slipped on that and broke my ankle.
Oh!
Before you even got your pass or anything?
I just got my pass.
Did you sue?
And 3 months on workers' comp on my first day.
Yes.
Oh, well that, played. Georgie, that's unbelievable. You didn't even, first hour, actually first few minutes.
Pretty full on. It was ridiculous.
Have you still got that job, George?
No, I left.
No. Left after the 3 months.
Amazing. To think you just walk through the door and you're on 3 months' work.
Big smoke's brutal, isn't it?
Georgie, great story, and I hope your ankle's better. Manny in Melton.
Morning.
Manny, what happened on, this wasn't your first day, but on whose first day?
No, this was on my first day. So I just started working at this cold store factory back in New Zealand. My very first day, they put you on like the milk section, so you're supposed to get grocery orders ready for the supermarkets. My very first day, we got shut down because somebody done a poo next to the milk.
Melbourne's number one breakfast show. It's the Foxes, Fifi, Fev, and Nick. Wake up with Fifi, Fev, and Nick on the Fox.